days. I want to praise. Everybody needs your love.
Good morning, OCC. Great to have you with us. And I'm so encouraged and so thrilled that we've got people online right now. I just want to say we really appreciate that you take your time, whether live right now or throughout the week, just to take time and be together and encounter God together, get into God's word together, chat together, encourage one another and spur one another on. I know we're all trying to navigate this season and what it means and what it looks like, and to be able to do that together and do that as we gather with God and for God, then I just want to say a big thank you and that we appreciate every single one of you. This morning we've got Phil doing all the technical, always thankful to him. He knows far more than many of us on that. So thankful to Phil. I'm going to bring a word that I just think is a word in season for us at the moment. And Ben and Vicky are going to lead us in a few moments as we sing. So let's just pray while we start. We've got a kids song coming up and things we can enjoy together. So Ben and Vicky are going to lead us. Let me just read Psalm 145 together. It says this: I will exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. I will bless you every day. I will praise your name forever and ever. The Lord is great and highly to be praised. Church, he's the focus. Whatever it is you're going through, let's lift our eyes up the mountains and see where our help truly comes from, that it comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. And so let's lift our voice. Let's worship this morning. Whether you want to sit quietly while Ben and Vicky play and enjoy the presence of God just washing over you, whether you want to lift your voice and sing and declare, let's just put our focus on God right now as families, as households, as individuals, and let's just lift his name as we worship together. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Vicky.
Forever, you are worthy you're my helper, my healer, my blessing, redeemer, my answer, my saving grace. You're my author, you're my author, my maker, my ransom, my savior, my refuge, my hiding place. You're my helper, my healer, my blessed, redeemer, my answer, my saving grace. You're my hope in the shadows, my strength in the battle, my anchor for all my days. And you stand by my side, you stood in my place, Jesus, no other. Where goodness flows, there is a fountain that drowns sorrows. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. Bursting, bursting up from the ground, we feel it now. Bursting, bursting up from the ground, we feel it now. We come alive in the river, we come alive in the river, we come alive in the river, we come alive in the river. Drown sorrows, there is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. Bursting, bursting.
Stop this joy.
Yes, thank you, Lord, that there is a river whose streams make glad the city. That you would know the life of the Spirit of God upon you, flowing in and through you, around you. We're gonna sing a kids' song right now. So kids, come on in. If you want to dance around, this is one of the favourites for the kids in our church. Jetpack, we're gonna sing that, and we're gonna give a link through to our virtual Sunday school that we link in with. That's on YouTube. So kids, you can watch that either while I'm preaching or throughout the week. So let me share that link with you, and we're gonna watch this video and dance around together as we sing Jetpack right now. like when I used to listen to ska music as a kid. So that was really enjoying dancing around to that. We're going to catch our breath. Let me just share some notices before we gather around God's word. And kids, you should be able to grab that link to the Virtual Sunday School gang that create our Virtual Sunday School week in, week out. So if you want to tune into that, feel free. But let me just bring some notices to you. Tomorrow at 7:30, we're going to have 30 minutes of prayer on Zoom. So please, if you're able to join with us, it's 30 minutes where we get together and we pray intentionally. So you can log on with that. Obviously, we're keeping the password private. So if you want to email admin@OCC-Stratford.org.uk, I'll learn the email address one day. Then you can get the password for that. And please do join with us. That would be fantastic. Also to say, this week we're going to be organizing how we can gather everything up for the food bank as a church that we're going to do as an offering. So in 2 weeks' time, we're hoping that we can have four different places where our connect groups would normally gather online. We're going to stop connect groups gathering online for 1 week and create drop-off points. So some during the day, some in the evening, where you can go and take some food and drop that off, leave it at a front door, leave it at our building in Shottery, so we can gather that all together to take down to our food bank to support the food bank during this time, which is going to be a really challenging time. Been speaking to the manager of the food bank, who is expecting a really busy winter. They've already seen an increase in demand through this last season. So if you're able to, let's intentionally bless our town over these coming weeks. So we'll organise that this week and we'll get it out on an email, and we'll announce next week what days you can take and to where you can drop off your food. If you're not able to come out, you're not wanting to for whatever reason, we're also asking if there's anybody in our church or in connect groups that's willing to go out and do some pickups. Then we can obviously do that in a way where food can be left on the door and someone else can come and pick it up. But if you'd like that, then please speak to your Connect Group coordinator, and we're going to start to organise that so we can make that something where we can really bless our town. So I want to encourage you to do that. Also, at the end of this service, there's going to be a little link. And it's going to be a link to a survey that we're going to ask if you can just take 2 minutes to do this survey for us. The survey is around what it feels like within our church about the concept of regathering. And so it will take you 2 minutes to do it. And it's just 10 quick questions, multiple choice, all done for you. And you can just fill that in, and we'll get a bit of more of a picture about who's happy for us to regather, who's keen for that to happen, who's apprehensive, what are some of the concerns, how we can make that happen as we start to explore how we can do that as a church. So we'll post that at the end of the service. So please hang around for that. And also, just to say, if you're able to this morning, we appreciate this season is a challenging one for many. We are financially trying to help as many in the church as we can. If you need help, contact us, please. This is a time where we are able to say, please help, as well as I want to help. If you're able to help and give financially, then please, there's a link in the chat and you're able to give, then please do. That would be fantastic. Guys, this would normally be the time in church where I'd say, go and grab a cup of coffee. We're going to gather around God's word. So if you want to go and get a cup of coffee, please do get comfortable. We're going to gather around God's word this morning. Verses that I've just felt as a church we should gather around. We did it in our connect group over this last week. Hope you enjoyed that. And I just wanted to preach on it this morning. Psalm 46, really well-known psalm to many, I'm sure. And any of you who have been following with us during this season, we've been exploring what it looks like to live to a new rhythm. And the rhythm we've been looking at is bless. How we, the people of God, don't just orientate our lives around a weekly gathering, whether that's physically or even online, but actually how we live intentionally as the people of God. And so we're given some really practical things around the word bless, each letter. So B stands for bless, for L, listen, E, eat, S, story, and S, Sabbath. How we can weave these things into our life. Because I believe it's both and. I believe that Jesus said when he was asked, how do you sum up the law? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That it's, this is both and. That this is love God and love others. This is our love for God demands that we love others, and our love for others reveals that we have a love for God. So for you doers in the church, you activists, this is both and. This is devotion and doing. You might be really good at the doing, but this is getting close to God through the person of Jesus as well. And for those of you who are maybe more contemplative or intellectuals, then this is doing as well as devotion. This is stepping out, even though we may not have it all together in our mind about who God is and what he's calling us to, but we step out in the midst of that. This is why we're doing some really practical stuff, like bringing teaching around what it is to bless God, bless each other and bless the world. Just get out there and just start being a blessing. Wouldn't it lovely to hear Marsha's story a couple of weeks ago? Just going out and blessing, just listening to people and sharing compliments and blessing and seeing what God does and through that. But this is also about moments of devotion, about where we're reminded that we're part of a bigger story, that God is the one that we're following, and what it looks like to love God during this season with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and love our neighbour as ourselves. So this week, I just want to be reminding us all who God is in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're facing, whether that's a global thing or an individual thing, that we have a God who is much bigger than that. And we're called to, with confidence and assurance and faith, to live for him. So I'm going to ask Rob Clark, part of our church, just to read Psalm 46 for us right now, and then we're going to unpack it over these next few minutes. Thanks, Rob.
Good morning, church. When Pastor John asked me to deliver this scripture today, it was a great honour, but it also had meaning to me within my personal life and in my work life within the police service on many occasions. It has also given me great comfort that we serve an awesome God. Psalm 46, verse 1 to verse 11. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid, though the earth trembles and the mountains topple into the depths of the seas, though its waters roars and foams, and the mountains quake with its turmoil. Selah. There is a river. Its streams delight the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is within her. She will not be toppled. God will help her when the morning dawns. Nations rage, kingdoms topple, the earth melts when it lifts his voice. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come see the works of the Lord, who brings devastation on the earth. He makes war cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows and cuts spears to pieces. He sets wagons ablaze. Stop fighting and know that I am God. Exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth, the Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah.
Great, thanks, Rob. You know, a few years ago, I got the opportunity to go surfing. I was in Australia, been there for a few weeks, and the people I was staying with were surfers. And I didn't realize this was a real thing. I just thought it was a song by the Beach Boys, but they actually do this real thing called a surf safari. And a surf safari is basically means going out and looking for the best surf spots, the best places that you can go and surf. In practice, what that actually means is waking up super early in the morning, getting in a van with all of the gear and driving to every single beach along the coast to see which one is best suited for that morning surf. So we got in the van and we drove and we would pull up to a beach, and I would just stand there because I didn't really know what I was looking at. And they would be looking at things, I'm guessing like the waves and the tide. They'd have a little conflab and I had no idea. But they chat amongst themselves, and then inevitably we'd get back in the van and we'd drive on to the next beach. After what seemed like an eternity, I reckon it was probably like 90 minutes of just driving from beach to beach and looking, they decided on the beach. And so we got ready, and I'm thinking, man, if they'd have just told me this is what it meant, I'd have just rocked up 10 minutes ago if they'd have given me a ring, and I could have had a couple of hours extra in bed. But anyway, we got ready and we got ready to get surfing. And in reality, in my mind, I can surf. In truth, there's no way I can surf. I can't even sit on a board, let alone stand on a board. I couldn't even get over the breaking waves to be able to get to a spot to catch the wave itself. So eventually I just kind of did some little stuff along the shore. And eventually I figured out that people dive under the waves rather than trying to clamber over them. So I dived under the wave with my board and managed to get out with to the, where all the other surfers were, and managed to eventually catch a wave on this board. I did not stand up. In fact, I looked like a beach whale just drifting in on this surfboard, and got somewhere close to the beach and then rolled off, took a deep breath, ready to try and get back out again. And that's when I realized I couldn't get back out to where the other surfers were. I was trying, everything within me was pushing against the water, but the waves were just pushing me back. and I ended up getting caught in a current, and the waves weren't really doing it. I was just spiraling around, and I was trying to get out. And I was there for around 40 minutes, we reckon, me just trying to get out. The other surfers were just laughing because they knew what had happened. And I was pushing, and I was trying to either get to the shore or get back out to the sea. And I just couldn't do it. At one point, I was panicking so much. And then I remembered. See, growing up, I used to do a lot of swimming. And part of that I got into was life-saving and beach life-saving. And I remember in that moment being taught, reminded as a kid when I was taught, if you ever get caught in a current, you don't swim towards the shore or try to get out to the sea. You swim parallel to the shore. And I remembered that in that moment. And within minutes, I'd swum parallel to the shore, and I was out of that little current. And I was able to then get back onto the shore, get a breather to be able to go back and meet the other surfers. I remember just struggling and struggling. But then when I shifted the focus and I remembered, I actually stopped the struggle and was able to get out of that which was overwhelming me and the current that was dragging me down, and able to get back out to where I wanted to be. Waves are really significant in the scriptures. Don't worry, that story may link up. We'll see what happens. But waves are really significant in the scriptures, especially the Psalms, one we've just read. The waves have this power to destroy mountains. In fact, water and the waves throughout the whole of scripture are really significant. They're an image that's really important. See, the Israelite people that we read of in scripture, they were not a seafaring nation. Their neighbors to the north and the south, yeah, absolutely trading across the Mediterranean and the world and beyond, but not Israel. They concentrated on the land. The sea for them, it was the place of power and darkness, unpredictability. It was evil. It was threatening. It was wild. And the waves throughout scripture, they're a picture of chaos. If we go right back to the start, Genesis chapter 1, it talks about these deep waters in amongst the darkness, and there's void and it's chaotic. And then the Spirit hovers over them, and there's creation, there's light and land, order over the chaos, order over the waters and the waves. The waves and the waters throughout scripture are used as a metaphor for threatening enemies. Psalm 69, it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I've come up into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies." See this connection between the waters and the chaos and the enemies that attack us. And not just enemies, but nations. Isaiah 17, it says, "Woe to the many nations that rage. They rage like the raging sea." This picture of the stormy sea crashing is like the picture of the nations coming against us. You see, the waves are a metaphor. You've got to remember when we're reading the Psalms and much of scripture, it's songs and poetry. And just like we read a psalm or a poem today, there's metaphor, isn't there? "I wandered lonely as a cloud." Now, we know that William Wordsworth isn't saying, "I'm a cloud." It's a picture. It's picture language. And the Bible's filled with that. And we read Psalm 46 and we see that these waters are seemingly doing catastrophic damage to these mountains. They seem pretty immovable, don't they? These mountains. But they're swallowed up into the sea. It's maybe some sort of earthquake or something. But the image is that which is stable, that which is secure, is being swallowed up by the chaos, by the uncontrollable, by that which seems strong is instantly no more. There's three things I want to explore this morning from this psalm. And some of you are going to be really pleased. There's three things. You're going to be even more pleased when I say they all begin with the same letter. So some of you are thinking this truly is a word from the Lord this morning. But it doesn't happen very often, so enjoy it. But we've got three things, three Fs that I want to look at through Psalm 46 this morning. And the first is this, the facts. See, I love that God is not lofty when it comes to pain. Scripture does not dilute heartache and disappointment and loss. Jesus experienced it. And it's recorded in the scriptures. We see it throughout. And in verse 2 and 3 of this psalm, it says that life is turbulent. Life is hard. The facts are we live in a world that is unstable, and sometimes it's falling apart. And this psalm is real enough to say these moments happen. Look at verse 2. It says, the earth trembles, the mountains topple into the depths of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with its turmoil. See, there are days, there are weeks, months, years, lifetimes, sometimes, when everything we've held on to as secure feels like it's crumbling and we feel completely out of control. Control. I mean, there's a God of our generation, if ever there's been one. I was reading a recent study that suggested that throughout our lives, we only ever control 15% of what we go through. So from birth to death, 15% of what we do, experience, live, only 15% of it do we have any kind of control over. That means that throughout our lives, 85% of it is completely out of our control, completely beyond what we can do. And yet we fight for control. We feel secure when we're in control. Is it any wonder that the majority of life feels like it's out of our reach and it's falling apart? If we want control and we only ever get 15% of it, then that means 85% of our life feels like it's falling apart. And this psalm, the fact is that life is hard. It is out of our control. Things that we think are secure, those mountains we've built, our health, our finance, our friends, our family, our job security, our reputation, try and control them as much as you want, but they may at any point crumble into the chaos. It's the fact. And some of you are like, I'm visiting this morning and this isn't that jolly. I need a bit of building up, not the facts that life is tough. But I want to tell you, God isn't trying to hide that. He's not saying, let's just pretend, you Christians, just pretend that life doesn't get tough. Life is really, really hard. It's the first F, the facts. Second F is this, the force. Not only is it fact that life is tough, but actually this psalm says that oftentimes the force at which life hits us can be brutal. Again, verse 2, it says, the waters roar and foam, the mountains, they tremble. Down to verse 6, it says, nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Actually, the language is the same. The language that's used for roar and tremble in verse 2 is the same as the words that used for rage and totter in verse 6. See, what it's saying is whether the threat is from nature or nations, whether it's directly or indirectly, whether it's close to home or further afield, these verses, they show us that the threat is real and life can be brutal. I was reading Matthew 7 and 8 this week, and we see in Matthew 7 that Jesus has been showing his authority as God, and he's been bringing some teaching, and they say that he teaches like one who has authority, teaching like God. And then we see him healing the sick, and we see him heal the sick from a distance. He doesn't even need to be near the sickness and he can heal it because he has authority, because Jesus is a God. And because he is God, he has all authority. Now, that can be great in theory, but what happens when the rubber hits the road? Or more accurately, when the boat hits the storm, when we're faced with the facts that life is hard and the full force of it starts to derail us? Who do we think Jesus is then? And we see in Matthew 8:23 that Jesus has authority, but now the disciples are in the boat and they set out on this lovely calm sea. And then suddenly the storm comes in and starts to beat them. The waves, the chaos, the darkness. Jesus is in the boat with them. But what's going to happen? Can I say, if you're following Jesus this morning, just because Jesus is in the boat with you doesn't mean that you're immune to the storm. Hang on, Jesus, I thought you were God. I thought you loved me. I thought you were all powerful. We shouldn't be going through any kind of storm. The scripture says that God causes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. The rains come on the righteous and the unrighteous. And we see here in this moment, the very followers of Jesus, he is with them and still the storm comes against them. In verse 25, we see that they wake up Jesus. And the confidence that they have in his authority to heal somebody else's sickness is starting to crumble when they themselves are in the storm. And we see that Jesus stands up against that storm and he rebukes it. He says, so the disciples came, woke him up saying, Lord, save us, we're going to die. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. It seems really odd, doesn't it? Like, we read scripture and just sort of read it, but I read that and my brain's like, that's really strange. Like, rebuking the weather. That's not something that I do. Like, when the washing is out and it starts to rain, I don't stand there and rebuke the rain. How dare you, rain? For me, that's what rain does. Rain rains and storms storm. So when the washing's out and it starts to rain, oh, we frantically run out and start to gather in all the washing. I don't stand there and correct the rain. That's what rebuking means. It means to put something back in its place or to correct someone. I don't correct the rain. Sorry, rain, you're wrong today. The weather forecaster said no rain. See, I don't correct the rain. Actually, what I end up doing is doubting that the weather forecaster was right. Maybe that's something of what's happening right here. Maybe Jesus is rebuking this storm because it's the very thing that's making his disciples doubt that he has all authority. See, when we see the facts that life is tough and we experience the force by which it can hit us, we can so easily be stood in the boat with Jesus right next to us, but doubt that he is who he says he is. Doubt that he has all authority, doubt that he has the ability, doubt that he has the power, doubt that he has the control. Why? My third F, the facts, the force. Now the focus. Psalm 46, it reminds us that the facts that life is really tough. The forces it can hit us so strongly. But the point of this psalm is in the midst of that. Where is your focus? Right at the start of this psalm, we're reminded, before we read anything about the waves, the chaos, the shaking nations, that there's a much bigger story here. There is a bigger God and he is our refuge. When we feel like everything is uncertain, when the mountains crash into the sea, the first thing, verse one, the first thing that we need to remember is our protection is not in better circumstances. Oh God, if you could just make this bit better. Our protection is not in avoiding the problems, make it go away. It's not in anything this earth can do for us. All of that stuff's temporary anyway. But God, he is our refuge. And not just any old refuge, it says our refuge. I want to say to some of you, he is your refuge. Not a refuge for everybody else but you, but he is your refuge. Ever present help in time of trouble. Do you believe that? See, it can be so easy to believe the roaring bit, the shaking bit, but the God bit, not so sure. He's ever present. I don't feel like he's ever present. Feelings, that's just like control for me. I mean, like, these are gods of our generation. If I don't feel it, then it can't be true. Sorry, but there are going to be moments where you don't feel it and we have to faith it. We have to go back to who God says he is. Through his word, through this psalm, when the waves are feeling real, when the shaking is unbearable, we have to be reminded. What else is true about this psalm? That bit's true. So why is the other stuff? Why am I not reading the other stuff? That no matter where you go, God is always with you. And how can we be sure of that? Because scripture tells us that those of us that believe in Jesus, he's given us his Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the scriptures say that those of us that believe, we're like the temple, the dwelling place of God physically in us. But God, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling within us, always present. The one whom Jesus said he would send to be our helper, our counselor, our guide. John 14, 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you a counselor to be with you forever." The counselor means the one who's called alongside. The idea of somebody who's encouraging us and urging us on. See, Jesus is no longer physically, tangibly here on this earth, but he said it's better for him to go because one's going to come, the Holy Spirit, who takes up permanent residency inside each one of us. Those of us that who believe. So God is with us 100% of the time. So when you feel 85% of the time like you're out of control, 100% of the time, you can know that God is with you. He is there, whether you feel it or not. He is there, whether it feels secure or chaotic. For God not to be present is actual impossibility, because God is an ever-present help. The Spirit of God is within you. Just pause there for a moment. Just pause, right? That's what this psalm does. This psalm, after that moment, it said, God is with you, an ever-present help. Here's the reality of life, the facts of life, the force of life. Now pause, Selah. That word Selah, it comes up maybe 71 times across the Psalms. And it's a Hebrew word that's written in English letters. But there's debate, as scholars like to, they debate what it actually means. But the common thought is that it's a musical term that means to stop or pause. These are songs, they're poems. And so pause and just reflect on what you've just read. See, in a world that honours achievement and doing, advancement, stopping and pausing on anything can be seen as a waste of time. But this psalm, as we've seen, it's grounded in reality. And it says, take time to stop in the middle of the storm. What, in the middle of the chaos? Yeah, stop and Selah, pause. When nothing makes sense, take a moment to stop and pause. When there's so much for you to sort out and look at all of this mess, Selah. Breathe deep the truth of who God is, not what your experiences say. You see those mountains, they'll shout out, where is your God, as they fail you and crumble into the sea, as if their instability proves God's lack of faithfulness. Those things were never a guarantee of stability and security anyway. Psalm 46 says, acknowledge the facts, recognize the force, but don't stop there. Don't hold on to the half truth of this psalm. Hold on to it all. Where is your focus? Who is your God? Selah, stop. Verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. This is actual, that verse is in speech marks. This is God speaking. Be still and know. He's speaking to the raging nations, to the things that are undermining his authority. Be still and know I'm God. But then he's speaking to the one who's reading this psalm, to you and me. Be still in the midst of all of that and know I'm God. I'm God. Psalm says he utters his voice and the earth melts before him. The God of hosts, the God who fights on our behalf. He's our fortress. And all he has to do is speak and he wins the battle. And then to prove his power, the psalm is saying he stops wars, he breaks bows, he shatters spears, and he burns chariots with fire. In other words, there is no match for him. These were the things in their day that were like, they were going to take us over. And he's saying, no way against God. And this isn't God bringing more chaos upon more chaos or more upon more chaos. When God fights, it's so he can fight to end the chaos. So the waves find their place under his authority. The nations find their place under his authority. See, God is our rock, the rock that will not crumble when the chaos comes, when the waves come. And with everything that's going on in our world, maybe not just global events, maybe not just this pandemic and the politics and everything else that's going on, maybe your world personally right now, with what you've got going on, don't stop with the facts and the force. Don't be drowning under the facts that life is tough and the full force can so often hit us. What are you focusing on? Maybe you've lost sight of who God is. Stop. In the middle of the chaos, be still and listen. It's part of our rhythm, bless and listen. Just stop and listen. Who does God actually say he is? When you read this, not what are you feeling, but what does God, who knows himself better than we could ever know, what does he say about himself? When you can't see him for the storm, stop. Let God remind you who he is. This psalm has three stop moments. I don't know if your life is anything like mine, but I need more than one stop moment. For me this week, it's been intentionally morning, noon and night, just stopping. Just for, even if it's just been for a few seconds, just stopping. Calling out to God, listening to God, being still. See, when life is crazy, we need to know who God is and hear him. In fact, bear with me a minute, because this is how my brain works when I read things like this psalm. Imagine the soundtrack of this psalm. I think for me, it goes something like this. That's the soundtrack of this psalm. It's the soundtrack of my life. It can be the soundtrack of my day on a daily basis, those noises. But in the midst of it, in verse 4 and 5, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. It's really poetic, poetic language. But what it's saying is something really, really real. And this is where I really want to kind of land this morning. See, when there was a city under attack, the one that stood was so often the city that had the river running through it. See, the river was the life stream. the city that could face the fact of being attacked and the full force of that attack. The one that stood was the one that had the fresh water flowing in, the food flowing into the city. That's what this psalm is talking about, the presence of God flowing into the city. Do you notice how the cadence of this psalm has changed? Suddenly the scene has shifted from raging seas and falling mountains to a life-giving river. Suddenly the waves look completely different. That moment looks completely different when we see that God is God. And that city, she will not be moved. She is the city. Which means the people of the city can rejoice in the safety of the city walls, knowing it's not going anywhere. Why? Because the presence of God will not be moved. Because he is very present, never failing help in trouble. Our safety and our gladness are secure when our safety and our gladness are placed in a God who is secure. So where is your focus? Do you stop with the facts and the force of what's coming against you? Or do you focus on who God actually is? We've got time. Let me throw in another F. I said three, but hey, I'm not very good at sermons. So we'll do a fourth just to throw it in there. Fourth F, faith. The facts, the force, the focus, the faith. Like Jesus says to those disciples in the boat during the storm, why are you afraid, you have little faith? See, faith is the point. Psalm 46, it says faith is the point. Focusing on God requires faith. See, faith is simply putting trust in Jesus, that he is sovereign, that he has all authority over your life, over the situations you face, over the elements, over the winds and the waves. So where is your focus? When the storm comes, when we lose another bit of perceived control, when one of those really secure mountains that's never meant to crumble, that starts to crumble, is he our refuge? Is he a very present help in time of trouble? Is he the one with all authority who puts those doubt-sowing waves back in their place? This is what faith in Jesus means. See, it's all very well to say that he's the Son of God, that he's the Lord, that he's the Messiah, but do we actually treat him as the one who's got all authority in every aspect of our lives and our world when we're going through it? When we're in that boat and that storm is bashing against us. Maybe we need to sail out on that point this week, to be still and to listen and to pray and remember that he is God and we're not. Remember that he is God and he is enough. And when we ask for help, we need to trust him more through the uncertainty and the pain and ask him to give us more of himself through the uncertainty and the pain, that he would help us focus on him and complete the full truth of this psalm, which is the facts, the force, and the focus. And God, give me faith. Guys, I'm finishing here. But I was reading something this week about an artist. Many of you will have heard of this artist. Let me finish with this. An artist called Vincent van Gogh. And he's famous for his vibrant yellow paintings, one of a sunflower, which I'm sure you know. And many may not know that actually the colour yellow for Van Gogh has a really deep, significant meaning. That as a young man, Van Gogh wanted to study theology, but he failed the entrance exam, and so he wasn't given a place. Instead, he was accepted on a six-month trial at a missionary organisation to reach coal miners in Belgium. And he gave all he had to these coal miners. One biographer says this: Vincent was a very generous man. He understood that unconditional love of God extended to unconditional love of others. He got it. He got the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is both and devotion and doing. He was so generous. And it said he would never recognize love that wasn't an action. But despite this popularity he had with all the coal miners, because he was so generous to them, the missionary organization actually declined to renew his six-month trial, saying the reason was, they said, that Van Gogh lacked eloquence in the pulpit. Bless him, he's not the only one. Van Gogh was further devastated when his father withdrew all of his pastoral support because he saw his son giving away so much, and he actually tried to get his son committed to an insane asylum. One thing just came against Van Gogh, one thing after another, to the point where he threw his faith away and he sank into depression and destruction. And many know the story of Van Gogh's life. And you can see through his paintings such turmoil, even through his life, if you know anything of his life. But later in life, Van Gogh started to embrace Jesus again. Those moments and mountains that had crumbled, that didn't hold much hope for him anyway, It was only when he actually started to encounter Jesus and saw Jesus that hope started to return. And you can actually trace this through his art with the gradual increase of the colour yellow. See, yellow for Van Gogh evoked hope and warmth and truth of God's love. In the picture you're seeing right now, it's called Starry Night. This was painted during kind of when he was coming out of a deep depression, but he still hadn't found Jesus. And you'll see that the yellow is in nature. It's in the stars. It's in the sun. But there's a church that sits at the middle of this picture. Is there any yellow? No. The bit that should be shining bright of yellow, not yellow at all. By the time he paints this picture, the raising of Lazarus, he's begun to face the truth about himself and who Jesus is and who he is in Jesus. You see, the whole picture is blindingly bathed in yellow. In fact, Van Gogh has actually put his own face on Lazarus to express his own hope in the resurrection and what Jesus can do in someone's life. Van Gogh wasn't without storms and without issues. Anyone who knows anything about him will know that. But for Van Gogh, yellow tells the whole story. When all Van Gogh held on to for significance and meaning and security, when they had crumbled, the yellow starts to fade. But as he sees Jesus, the one in whom all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him, all things hold together. He has all authority, all power, and he can save and he can come against the storm because he has that authority. And as Van Gogh sees that, the yellow starts to return. Because Jesus is sovereign, he has all authority, nature is subject to him, the waves obey him, he is the hope of the nations. We don't need more of Jesus, we don't need more from Jesus, we need more of Jesus to see him in the storms that we face. And the yellow starts to return. So I'm going to ask Ben and Vicky just to lead us. Maybe for you in this moment of song right now, you need to say la, and ask God to show you who he is in the midst of the storm you face. Maybe you need to shift your focus. Instead of trying to paddle out of the storm back towards the shore or back out to where the surfers are, you need to change your focus. Maybe in this moment, it's just about God pouring out his presence and confirming who you are and who he is. My prayer is that we would see Jesus. Among the facts that life is tough, may we see that God is good. As we face the full force, may we focus on the sovereign God who is stronger. And with faith, may we see a little bit more yellow than we ever thought there could be. Ben, Vicky, will you lead us in a song?
God, I look to you, and I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. God, I look to you, don't want to be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. Strength.
God, we thank you that you are God, not us. Lord, in our weakness, you're made strong. Lord, I pray that this week would be one where we stop and focus. No matter what's going on in our world, in the nations, in the world and in our world. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you pour your presence upon your people. Streams of living water, I pray over each one of us, bubbling up from the inside out, impacting those around us. Pour out your presence. Church, I just wonder, just to finish this morning, wherever you are, just stand if you're willing. Let's just sing out that chorus and just declare with one voice right now, hallelujah, our God reigns. And let's finish our service making that declaration of truth that God has all authority, has all power, that the waves, the mountains, the nations, the storms, they bow before him because he is God. And they only exist because he would have them exist. And he is God and he's the creator and he's all powerful. He has all authority and he is your refuge, your strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. Let's just stand and declare this together right now as we finish our service together.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God, you reign forever all my days.
Thank you, Lord, for that truth. Lord, you reign. You reign and you rule. If nothing else, Lord, we stand on that truth. That you are a rock. When all around is sinking sand, you are our rock. And we stand on you. Church, I pray you've been encouraged this morning, knowing that God is with you and God is for you, no matter what you go through this week. If you want any prayer, don't forget, we've got our prayer meeting tomorrow as church. People that are involved in leading in our church, we're praying regularly for you and for your needs. And so please hit that prayer request button, send those prayers through and know that we are praying for you. If you can join us tomorrow at 7:30, half an hour of prayer in the evening. We're going to gather and just pray together. And don't forget, we're going to share a quick survey. It takes you 2 minutes. It feels like the end of one of those calls, doesn't it? Well, do you mind hanging on the line so you can take our survey for us? If you're able to hang on the line when we finish this service, please just fill in that 2-minute survey just to help us get a picture of where you're at and your needs as we seek to regather physically as a church and what that may look like and when it might happen. But I just pray, God, that you would bless each one of us this week with your presence. Your presence in the midst of the pain, your strength in the midst of the storm. God, your person, who you are, is who we need. So pour it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you.